Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. I'm so excited to be back here with Erica Flint. She's out there in Bellingham, Washington. And let me tell you what we're going to talk about today. We are going to talk about, is there such thing as too much emotion? Can they have too much emotion? Can clients come in with too much emotion for us to be able to work with them? Let me tell you about Erica Flint. She's an up-and-comer in the profession. If you've been watching these podcasts, these hypnosis training videos, then you know that she's bringing that kind of perspective of the person who really has that hypnopreneurial bent on life of wanting to build a successful hypnosis practice efficiently, effectively. And you know what? She's been doing it. She's already, been in the profession like a little more than a year, and she's already speaking at the National Guild of Hypnotists Convention. She's already writing for my Banyan Hypnosis E-Zine on hypnosis.org. And I'm so excited to have her here. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Cal. Thanks for having me again, and it is great to be here today. Let me tell everybody a little bit about you, Cal. So Cal is the hypnosis celebrity because of his fame in the profession, and not just because of all of the hundreds of wonderful training videos, just like this one that he's done over the years. I don't know how he does all of this, but he's also the hypnosis celebrity because he has received almost every single award in the profession. He's the author of one of my very favorite books, The Secret Language of Feelings, and he's also been on television, he's been on the radio promoting hypnosis and hypnotism. He is still training, he teaches lots of classes, he was my teacher, my trainer still is, and he's still writing, he's still doing all sorts of amazing things. And so today I'm here to talk with Cal a little bit about something that I've been thinking about. Is it possible to have too much emotion? If your client comes in and before they really even get going, they are crying or they are so upset and they can't really even look at you, what do you do? So what would you do, Cal?
Well, I'll tell you what. This is one of those what ifs. What if, what if, what if, what if? What if this happens? And let's take a look at it. First, let me just start off with this little caveat, and that is too many brand new, newly trained hypnotists get stuck in the what ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? And they'll just get bogged down with this what ifness and think, I don't know, what if this happens? And it'll just block them from getting started. Now, Erica, you're not one of those people, but let's get beyond, I'm going to surprise you with this. It is possible that someone could come in so emotional that I just couldn't work with them. I mean, they're just a basket case. They're crying or they're so angry that I can't work with them. I have this kind of this rule of thumb when it comes to individuals. It's like some say, is this person mature enough? Is this person mentally healthy enough? Is this person, too emotional? And my rule of thumb is, if I can have a decent, intelligent conversation with the individual, then I can work with them. Because ultimately, hypnosis and hypnosis work that we do is a conversation. So as long as, they're emotionally level enough to where we can dialogue, then of course I can work with them. If they're so emotionally in emotional upheaval to where I can't even have a conversation with them, then of course not. So when people are very highly emotional, then absolutely, as long as we can have a conversation. How's that for a starter?
Yeah, that makes sense. And in my experience, sometimes people will come in the office just so overwhelmed, and for a variety of reasons. Maybe you are the last chance, or you are the only person that they can talk to, or for whatever reason, the gates open and the tears come, and they've just And so sometimes you just have to allow your clients to kind of unload just a little bit. This happened to me a number of times, and a couple minutes later, they're feeling better, and they calm down. And then you can have a conversation with them. It's never really happened to me where that type of too much of an emotion type of thing has been a prolonged experience. But one thing that I was thinking is, because I often use your air induction, okay, so your air induction is where you're helping people, you know, they can, they're experiencing the emotion right then, and we know that if somebody is having a certain level of emotion right then, we don't really have to do a different type of induction. We can just ask them right there in the chair, we can just say, hey, is it all right with you if we start hypnosis right now or at any time? Okay, go ahead and close your eyes, tell me about that experience, etc. But I'm wondering, would you ever do that with your client when they're sitting in the chair before the pre-hypnosis interview? I mean, I'll leave it at that, Cal.
Okay, so now, Erica, one of the things we got to do is, if we say something, we got to make sure everybody understands what we're talking about. So the air induction that she's talking about really stands for affect-induced age regression induction. And it was really an induction that highly influenced the creation of the time tunneling technique induction. And you can, I'll put a link down below on calbanion.com on the page for this video, a link to the time tunneling technique. Right now I'm trying to do a Google for, see if I have something on the web about the affect-induced age regression induction, and see if I can come up with any articles or anything I've done on that. I don't see anything about that induction. Oh, I'm putting in air induction and I'm getting all kinds of air conditioning stuff. Hold on, hypnosis, see what I get. All right, I see that I have air induction. Okay, good. Affect-induced age regression induction, I talk about in podcast number 18. So I'll put a link below so that you guys know what that's about. All right, so what was your question?
You've also talked about it a little bit in number 107, Cal. So there is some more information out there. So my question is, the air induction, would you do that with a client if they walked in your door expressing too much emotion and you haven't done the pre-hypnosis interview or some of that other stuff yet?
Okay, yeah. At my center, I've kind of got a unique situation in that I usually don't see my clients for the very first time until after they've watched the pre-talk. So, which is kind of unusual. So they'll call our office, somebody else books the appointment. When they show up at the office, somebody else greets them at the door and then gives them the paperwork to fill out. Somebody else shows them the video, and then I walk up to them and the pre-hypnosis video, unless they're in for a too much behavior, and then they'll watch the Secret Language of Feelings video. And then I walk up to them, meet them for the first time, say, hi, I'm Cal Banion, I'll be working with you. And most of the people that I see already know who I am. It's not like I'm getting clients from ads. My practice is entirely by referral at this point because I've been doing it for 18 years. So yes, to answer your question, they would watch the pre-talk video before I would have the opportunity to do the air induction with them. And so they would come into the office and I would say, you know, how can I help you today? And they start talking about what we're going to work on. Well, the first thing I'm going to ask you is, say, you watched a video or videos. Do you have any questions about the videos? Then the pre-talk is done. And then I'll say, how can I help you today? And they start talking about the issue. And if they become emotional that time, not emotional about, there's two emotions that you were talking about. One is the emotion of, I'm so frustrated and I'm so worried because nothing I've done has helped. I hope you can help me. That's one. I'm not going to do work on that emotion. Then the other emotion is the emotion that's drove them to come in. You know, maybe they have a fear of, you know, heights, or a fear of public speaking, or a fear of intimacy, or maybe they've got anger issues, or maybe they've got guilt issues, or maybe they've got some psychosomatic illness. That's the emotion that I watch for to come up in the pre-hypnosis interview, which starts off with, how can I help you today? Please give me a thumbnail sketch of the history of the problem, that kind of thing. And then when the emotion comes up, I'll do just like I said, and just like I teach in class, I mean, just like you said, and just like I teach in class, is it okay with you if I start the hypnosis at any time? And once they do that, then, you know, there's two chairs where a client will sit in my office. One is at my desk. I'm sitting at my desk, and my client is right off to the right of me, catty corner, and I turn and I face that individual, and we talk like this. And if they are connected to that emotion at that time, I'll just say, is it all right if I start at any time? And then I will just go ahead and I don't do affect-induced age regression anymore, which is kind of where you would just say, follow that feeling back. It is the affect-induced age regression induction is really a derivation of the affect bridge, where you simply have them follow that feeling back to an earlier time they felt that way, and you cause the compliance of the client to follow that instruction back to an earlier time they felt that way to simultaneously induce the hypnosis. Now I do the time tunneling technique, which offers them greater structure. And I'm not really want to go over the whole time tunneling technique at this point. I'll put a link down below to our series. It's 3 or 4 videos on the time tunneling technique. And also for you NGH members, I've done 3 or 4 articles on it in a series for the National Hypnotist Journal of Hypnotism. Does that help out?
Yeah, that does help quite a bit, Cal, because my office is set up a little different. I do show them a pre-talk video, but I'm the only one in my office right now, so I meet them first. So I do have an opportunity to see them first sometimes. So, and I would, in that case, I would, I talk with my client a little bit, have them watch the video, and then start some hypnosis with them after that. So kind of the same thing as you, but I do get an opportunity to see them first. So I do have another question though, and it still has to do with too much emotion. So this is further on down the road when we are in age regression, okay? So in age regression, what do you do when your client has so much anger? Okay, this has happened to me before. And the client has so much anger. They're so angry. And this is what we would call righteous anger. Okay, so this is valid anger. This is a true perception from my client, something that occurred that was extremely unfair, completely and totally wrong. I think anybody would believe what happened was wrong. And they just couldn't move forward. So would you ever do any type of forgiveness or any type of thing to try and help the client move past that so that you could continue with your age regression work?
Okay, that was waiting for you to say, you know, as you're asking this question, what am I doing with the client? So you're saying that I'm doing age regression work, and we run into anger. Now this anger that they're experiencing, are they experiencing it in the regress state in an event?
Yes, they're experiencing it in the regressed state, and the adult, the grown-up, is also experiencing the anger.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just do this in a way that paints a usable picture here. So you're with the client, you're working on some issue, and you're following the feeling back, you're time tunneling, for example, and you go to an earlier event, right?
Right.
And is that where they feel this anger?
Yes.
Okay, well, at that point, we don't know that it's based in reality. We've got to ask the 5 questions. What's happening? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? How old are you? And is the feeling familiar or new? And so we find out what's happening and what they're thinking. And if what they're happening, what they're thinking, and what they're feeling all makes sense, then that could be valid anger. And then I would do nothing with it at that point. I don't want to reduce it because I need that anger to continue to regress on using the time tunnel. So I then have them tell me where that feeling is in their body, suggest that that feeling is a tunnel to the past, to mentally go into that, follow back to an earlier time. So I go back to an earlier time. I ask, what's happening? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? How old are you? And is that feeling familiar or new? The Fab Five questions. And again, I look to see, you know, does that make sense with what's happening? Now, anger, one of the things you folks have got to understand is that according to the Secret Language of Feelings book, one of Erica's favorite books, it says that the emotions start off with a thought, a perception, right? And then that causes you to feel a certain way. So something happens, you give it meaning, and then you have an emotion. So we say, what's happening? That something is happening. And then you say, what does that make you think? That's the meaning you're giving it. And then how does that make you feel? So those things, if they make sense, okay, then that's righteous anger. And then we can continue on back. I will not remove or reduce or do any forgiveness until after I get to ISC. In ISC, what we're going to do is, in the Secret Language of Feelings book, we talk about how do we work with emotions. Well, we find out what are they thinking, and then what the emotion is, and the thinking, the thought always behind anger is, this is not fair, or this is not right. It's that kind of thinking that causes anger. So when I say, does it make sense? With what happened, what they're thinking, and what they're feeling. So something has to have happened, and then they believe it's not fair. Now, how do we know if this is true or not? We can always have the adult help us with this and say, was that really not fair? And if they say, yes, it was really not fair, then we have what Erica called righteous anger, as I teach in class. But if we get all the way back to that ISC, and we're ready to do that informed child work, where adult goes back to before this event, where we found out what was happening, what they're thinking, what they're feeling, and how old are they, and if it's familiar or new, and we identify an ISC, we go back before that time, and if the adult says that was a misperception of the child because it wasn't not fair, or it was, in other words, it was fair, then if we can give that knowledge to the child, then the child can go through the event without becoming angry, because the anger, once again, comes from the perception of something being not fair. If the adult can go and talk to the child before the event, okay, and now they can go through it knowing it's fair, then they won't get angry. So as I'm regressing back, I don't do anything to remove the anger because I need that emotion to time tunnel on or to affect bridge on to go back. Once I get to ISC, then I'm going to have the child find out from the adult if it's that emotion is based in reality. Age regression is one big reality check. And we're going to check the reality of the situation, what the child was thinking. If it was not fair, in other words, if the situation they thought was not fair is in fact fair and right, once we let the child know that, then go through without being angry. Now, the other situation is, of course, we go back and we find out it was not fair. Now what that child has is righteous anger. It's right on. And then what we want to do is simply validate. We let the child know this unfair thing is going to be happen, and it is okay to feel that anger. And then I become the anger cheerleader. I want them to let it pass through them. One of my favorite sayings, I didn't make it up. I think I first heard it from, what's her name? It'll come to me as I'm talking. Is that the way out is through. And when you, and if it doesn't come to me in the video, I'll put it down in the comments. The way out is through. And what that means to me as a hypnotherapist is the way for them to get out of this emotional state is to let the emotion fully flow through them. And I remember Stephen Parkhill saying once that human emotions are short-lived when fully expressed. They're not infinite. Human emotions are finite. When we allow the emotion to fully pass through them, and so we say, good, feel that anger, feel it, let it flow through you, feel it. This is the safe place you've always wanted to find, to where you can finally just let that anger pass through. And so I'm not going to do any forgiveness work in the age regression. The forgiveness work is saved post-age regression in phase three, where I can really spend the time to fully do it. I don't want to do a halfway job in the age regression and then not have the anger there to be expressed when I get to phase three, where we really do an excellent job of doing the forgiveness. How's that?
I think that's great advice. And a couple things stand out to me based on what you said. First of all, validating that feeling is so important. I know you probably had this experience, Cal. There are so many times when clients, if you just validate their feeling, you know, anybody would have felt that way. That was unfair. That can go a long way, because there are people out there who've never had their feelings validated. They've never had their feelings heard. They haven't been heard their whole life, a lot of people believe. And so just validating feelings can go a really long way. And the other thing that I wanted to just highlight is that when we ask our clients in this process, where do you feel that feeling in your body? That's always been so intriguing to me. But it's so valuable too, because in the end, right, when you have either removed some of that emotion, dissolved it away that really didn't need to be there, was from erroneous perception or something like that, then you can go and ask them again, hey, you know, remember that feeling in your chest, or remember that feeling in your gut? How does it feel now? And so then you can validate to your client that we got rid of that feeling, and that's tremendous. I love that part of the process when they can actually feel it inside, right? We're aligning what they believe with what they feel. And so then the client just gets this huge sense of relief going through some of that. And so thank you, Cal, for explaining some of that, the detailed part about what to do with that extra anger when you have it. Leave it alone, right? And then allow it to pass through. The only way out is through. I love that expression too. I use that. So thank you very much. One other thing that I wanted to ask you, real quick question. Do you ever find that there are particular emotions that end up in certain parts of the body in general, or is it different for every client?
Well, I'm going to get to the question in just a second. The individual I was talking about that I heard the way out is through is Marilyn Gordon. I knew it would come to me. Very, very wonderful hypnotist. I think she's up in the Oakland, San Francisco area there. If you're watching, Marilyn, hello. Very, very wonderful person, great hypnotist. And so now on to your question. You know what? Where do they feel it in their body? You know, most of these emotions are in the chest or in the gut. But I have not found any good reason to try to generalize that. To say anger is felt in the gut, and fear is felt in the chest, or anything like that. Because that kind of generalization is something that psychologists do. And we're not psychologists. And I think that it can be a mistake to make those kind of generalizations. For example, you know, you take the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of America, of the APA, which is the Bible for psychiatrists and psychologists of all these kind of mental disorders and stuff. And, you know, that's what I was trained on, way back in the DSM-3, and then the DSM-4, and the DSM-4R. And the problem with it is, you know, psychology has always wanted to be as scientific as it can and to match the hard sciences. And it's really hard to be scientific about mental states and moods and cognitive ability and stuff like that. And so they fall upon statistical analysis. And with statistical analysis, what happens is we come up with generalizations. And these generalizations in psychology have come to a point where what they try to do is say, people with this mental disorder fit this profile. They get this kind of a result on the MMPI or on the Rorschach test, or they have these kinds of relationship difficulties or these kind of behaviors, and they put together a profile and then say, okay, bam, they put that diagnostic label on you. And we don't want to fall into that kind of behavior because it's very, very limiting. What I do is I don't care where they feel it in their body. I want to have them become aware of where it is in their body simply because that awareness magnifies the feeling and, probably even more importantly, makes an emotional cognitive link so that I can do the time tunnel, so that I can do affect bridge, so that I can do the age regression induction, and so that I can go back and visit relevant times in the past, if I'm doing age regression, so that I can find out what was happening, what they're thinking, what they're feeling, so I can work on that stuff with insight. As you can tell, my co-hosts, they just bring me these things. And I don't spend any time really preparing for it. If I don't know the answer, I'll just say I don't know the answer. And, a lot of the stuff I give you is my experience on the topic, or my experience with clients, or my particular perspective on a topic. And so, maybe, Erica, you're wanting me to say that, oh, yeah, when it's fear, it's in the chest, or when it's sadness, it's in the heart, or whatever. But I think that even thinking that way, unless I'm missing something in your question, can really kind of bias us in our thinking about the client. And we don't want to be setting up these prejudices about what could be causing the problem by something as general as where they're feeling it in their body. How does that strike you?
Well, and my experience is the same. So my question was more just about what's your experience in this, because you've been doing it longer. My experience is that there is no rhyme or reason, particularly about when somebody feels something in their body. I have had a few cases where somebody comes in with pain. So for example, shoulders and neck, or headaches or back pain, they often will feel or report at least that they're feeling more motion in that area. But in general, I haven't found anything other than, my experience is the same as yours, mostly in the chest and the gut area. So I completely agree with you.
Right, and then you'll suddenly have someone who you say, and where do you feel that anger? And they'll say, in my hands, or in my shoulders, or in my arms, or in my feet. And you go, wow, that's weird. We don't actually say that. But, they just feel it wherever they feel it because of their history or their physical propensity towards feeling the emotion in a particular part of their body. And then don't be someone who profiles your clients like that. Just let it take you to wherever it's going to take you. All right, Erica, please wrap it up. We went a bit long this time.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us here today on this episode about emotion and too much emotion. My name is Erica Flint. You can find me at CascadeHypnosisCenter.com. Thanks for joining today.
All right. Hey, you guys, if you're watching this, thank you very much, Erica. Anywhere except CalBanyan.com. Go to CalBanyan.com because that's where we have the extra links. That's where we have additional comments and information and graphics that go with these videos. And also become a VIP member, and because that's where we've got the list of all the podcasts. I'll send you notification each time one of these videos comes out. And also, see you in class. We've got a class coming up in October. It'll be October 13th through the 24th with the weekend off right in the middle. What a great time, October, to come to California. It's starting to get cold where you are, perhaps, and you can come to California and go to Disneyland, go to the beach, and learn an awful lot about hypnosis. So, and then we also have in March class coming up, and these are both 10-day courses, and gosh, I just love to see you in class. That's it. Hey, take advantage of our specials on calbanion.com. We try to make specials for you from time to time, and they're always really good deals. All right, now I'm done. Cal Banion, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banion and the Banion Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.